Okay. So in chapter 19, Parak Yud Tet, the very difficult chapter, or series of chapters, regarding the Pilegesh Begiva, the concubine of Giva. So last week, we put a dent in this parak a little bit. I think we did about 10 or 12 psukim. And we learned that there was a guy, and he had a pilegesh, a concubine. We talked about what a pilegesh is. Either it's a woman who doesn't have kiddushin or ksuba, but she becomes married to someone just by living with him, but there's no kiddushin or no ksuba. There seems to be maybe nisuin, the completion of marriage, but no kiddushin. Or it could be, according to some, she has kiddushin, she just doesn't have a ksuba, according to some Rishon, according to Rashi. So, anyways, so seems though that she's this Pilegesh, Pasuk describes in Pasuk Beis, which is really what we're going to focus on right now, is Vatizne Olo Pilegesho. His Pilegesh was Mizane over him. And last week we just went with a simple reading. She strayed from him. She even though Mizane, often is associated with the same word as zinus, which is sexual impropriety, but the Rishonim here, most of them say, no, it doesn't mean that she actually did something wrong. She left his house for some reason. It means that she departed. She left his house. And then what we saw last week was that she goes to her father's house. He eventually goes after her after a few months and tries to convince her to return with him. And she agrees, it seems. And the father-in-law keeps him there for a few days. And then they set out to return. And that's basically where we got to. And they're going to end up in the city of Giva. And that's where the story is going to unfold, where eventually the men of Giva are going to demand this man to come out so that they can molest him, they can rape him, and he instead ends up sending out his concubine, and they have their way with her, and eventually she dies from the experience. And as we're going to see, the husband decides to send a message to all of Israel, about what happened here, and he cuts up the concubine into many pieces and mails her remains out to the different tribes of Israel. All the tribes are very upset and at the people of Giva, the Shevet Binyamin, for doing this, and a civil war ensues. That's what's going to play out. Now let's go back to where this all starts. Pasuk Beis, Vatizne Olo Pilegesho, which again we said, according to Rashi and others here, it just means that she went out. She left his house for some reason and went back to her father's house. Radak here suggests, maybe it's Kimashmo. Maybe it means that she was actually Mizana, she actually had zinus. Now we're going to see in a moment what the what the considerations are here. So the Gemara in Gittin Daf Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara is actually discussing something related to Gittin, obviously. It's Sechas Gittin. And the Gemara quotes a certain Tana, it would seem, named Rabbi Eviasar. And the Gemara in relation to something in Hilchos Gittin. And the Gemara questions, who's this Rabbi Eviasar? Who says that he is reliable? Who says that his opinion is reliable? And the Gemara goes on to say that no, in fact, Rabbi Yasser's opinion is very reliable. Right. I'm not sure. Maybe, perhaps not. Perhaps this is only right. He's definitely not a common name to find. So the Gemara asks, is this Rabbi Yasser reliable for his opinion? And the Gemara says, yes, this is Rabbi Yasser to ask him Mare al Yade. This is the Rabbi Yasser that Hashem agreed to what he said. What is that referring to? Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says in Shoftim, Perek Yates, Batizne Olof Pivagsho, and the Pileges, the concubine of this man, was Mizana upon him. And what does that mean? Rabbi Yasser, Omar Rabbi Yasser said, Zivuv Matzala. It means that he found a Zivuv, a fly. He found a fly. Rabbi Yonasan, Omar Rabbi Yonasan says, Nima Matzala. He found a hair. Rabbi Yasser says he found a fly, and Rabbi Yonasan says he found a hair. It doesn't say yet where, you know, what this means. It just says, what? It doesn't say yet. It doesn't say where he found it. So the Gemara goes on. It says, the Ashkechei Rabbi Yasser Leliyahu. Rabbi Yasser, who said this shot, he said that the man found a fly, he found Eliyahu HaNavi. And on my way, he said to him, my kavod kutsa brichu. What is God doing right now? He asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what's God doing right now? On my way, asik the pilagish begiva. Eliyahu HaNavi told him, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is learning the sugya of pilagish begiva right now. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Amar le umay kamar. So he said, okay, so what's he saying? What does Hashem have to say about this topic of Pilagish Begiva? Amar le Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying as follows. Ev Yasser bini kachu omer. Ev Yasser, my son, this is his opinion. Yonasan bini kachu omer. Yonasan, my son, this is his opinion. That Hashem was going over the opinions of the different Tanoim in terms of what they said the Pshat in Pilagish Begiva was. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yasser said, Chas v'shalom umi ikas feka kamei shmaya. Could it be that Hashem is uncertain which one it was? Could it be that Hashem doesn't know what the cause was? Was it that he found a fly or that he found a hair? Does Hashem have fekos? Does Hashem have uncertainties? Amar Lei, so Eliyahu responded, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. This and this, both of these things are the words of the living God, both the opinion of Rabbi Yasser and the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan, both are accurate. How is that so? Zivuv matza v'lo hikvit. Says the Gemara, he found a zivuv. He found a fly. And he wasn't makbid. It wasn't such a big deal. He let it fly. He let it go. Nima mata the hikvid. Actually, it just came to me. Nima mata the hikvid. And then he found a hair, and he was makbid. He cared, and he got upset, and he was angry at her, and she left the house. I don't know if he kicked her out, or she just... This is the man with his pilagish. The Gemara is discussing, yeah. The Gemara is discussing what happened that, you know, that she left the house. Latizna Olaf Pilagsho, she left the house. So what happened? So, right, she went to her back to her father's house. So what happened? So one opinion said she found a fly. He found a fly. We'll see, yes, they're saying it's food. And the other one is he found a hair. We'll see what that means in a moment. So it says, Nima matzah v'lo hikvid. Zvuv matzah v'lo hikvid. First he found a fly and he wasn't makvid. Nima matzah v'hikvid. And then he found a hair, and that he cared about, he got angry, and she left the house. Amar Rav Yehuda, the Gemara goes on, it says, Rav Yehuda said, Zivuv ba'ke'ara, v'nima ba'oso makom. The Zivuv, the fly, he found in the bowl, in his food, and that he let go. The Nima, the hair, he found, the Oso Makom, in the vaginal area. Oso Makom, the Gemara refers to, it just means that place. That's how the Gemara in Lashon Nikia, in, what's that? In a clean language, it always refers to the vaginal area as Oso Makom, that place. And that's where he found it.
So, hair?
Yeah.
What does this have to do with, sorry, I'm messed up to where, where are we tying this into a...
So the beginning of the story, the first thing that happens in the story of Pilagesh Begiva is the Pasuk says, Vatizna Olav Pilagsho. His Pilagesh, his concubine, was Mizanet, which either means that she had sexual impropriety, or, you know, some sexual sin, or that she just left. She left the house.
To, like, deserve getting raped?
Well, we're not saying that yet, you know. We're not saying that. That's going to be later. First, we're just trying to figure out what happened that she left the house. Right. Why did she leave the house for 4 months? Why did she leave her husband? So the Gemara is going to say that he got angry at her, and that caused her to leave. So the Gemara is asking why did he get angry? So one opinion said he found a fly. The other opinion said he found a hair. And now the Gemara is elaborating and explaining that when he says that he found a fly, it means in his food. When he says he found a hair, it means in Oso Makom, in that area. Now what's the
boy's serious mess.
So,
what?
Yeah. So we're now getting into all the details of what, you know, what the significance of that is, whether it's normal, whether it's not normal. The Gemara describes that it says zivuv mitisusa. The zivuv that was just disgusting to him, and nima sakanta. The hair was dangerous. What is dangerous about it? So Rashi says that their way was to remove their hair from that area in order to not endanger their husband, that it can cut him or slice him. And he was machzik about that. Now, what does that mean? So, it's also a strange idea. The Ben Yoyada has a suggestion that the Ben Yoyada suggests, he says he's trying to explain what this means, that it was a sakanta, what was the danger? He suggests that it could be that the normal activity in those days was that for a woman who was unmarried, she would put some kind of cream or something to harden the hair in that area in order that a man couldn't take advantage of her. It was a preventative measure. And so he would get hurt, cut, and this woman, when she came to her husband, she did not fix that. And so that was dangerous to him. He got upset, and that caused her to leave the house. That was one opinion. Ikka da Amri, the Gemara has another suggestion. Idi v'idi bakara. Now, they were both in his food. Nothing to do with Oso Makom. They didn't find the hair on her skin or anything. The hair was also found in her food. Zivuv onta v'nima pishiyusa. But the zivuv, that's an ones, that's not her fault. There's nothing she could do about that. And the nima, the hair, though, that was shia, that was negligent, and that's why he got upset when he found the hair. And this is, of course, would be reminiscent of Yosef in prison with the baker and the butler, where the baker, Pyro found a piece of wood chips in his bread, and so he was killed because, a wood chip, what's that doing? That's shia, that's negligent. But the butler, the wine server, there was a fly in the wine, so that happens. There's nothing you can do about that. Flies fly. So he wasn't killed for that. So here also, The second answer of the Gemara, second suggestion, is that both of these were found in his food. At first it was a fly, he wasn't so makbig, he wasn't so concerned. But then he found a hair, and that was considered negligent on her part. She should have been wearing a hairnet when she was preparing his food. And as a result, he got upset and got mad at her, and she left the house. Okay, we'll get there. First of all, the Radak said it already, but even on this Gemara, we'll see that you could take it at face value, or you could get in a little bit deeper. So, now the first question, let's assume, like the simple reading of the Gemara, that Batizna is understood just to mean she left the house, and that it was a result of one of these, that he got angry over one of these things. The Mefarshim just wonder, why do all the Mefarshim assume that Batizna, which usually means Mizane, means that she sinned, she did some kind of sexual sin, why does the Gemara assume that that's not what it means, and why does the Mefarshim assume that? So we mentioned, I think, last week, the Malbim already pointed this out, that the fact that... the Malbim brought a proof from the language of Olav. The Malbim said, Vatizna Olav on him. That's not a term usually used in the context of regular Zanus. Okay, that we talked about last week. Tosfos here says that the fact that he went back to return her to his house, that shows that she didn't actually commit zinah, that adultery of any sort. Because certainly a real wife would become forbidden to the first husband if she committed adultery, and he wouldn't go back to retrieve her, you know, and to bring her back to his house. The way that Tosfos says it is, even pilagshim, even concubines, lo haya darkam lahachzirim la'achar zinusim. It wasn't the way to bring them back after, if they committed zinus, if they committed adultery. It doesn't sound like it's necessarily forbidden to continue to remain married to them, from Tosfos, but he says it wasn't the way. Now, something that Jared sort of referenced, he was saying, you know, is this what caused the, you know, are we trying to say what caused the, you know, the, that her to be punished in this way, that she was raped, etc.
And is this so, angry mob, are they Jewish or are they like Canaanite?
They're Jewish, but we're not there yet.
Right, okay.
So the, what, as we mentioned though, that a civil war is started over this. So the Yom Yaakov, Yaakov Reicher, says that that the fact that the Jewish people started a civil war over her rape and what happened to her implies that she didn't do anything wrong. Because if she was a zona, if she was in fact adulterous and sinned, and then, you know, we wouldn't be happy about what happened, but we wouldn't have gone to such lengths. You know, there wouldn't have been a civil war started over it. And that's another indication that she was... that she was not Mizana.
Even if she was,
but the point is that okay, so they did something bad, but to start a civil war over it, that wouldn't necessarily have, they felt they have to exact punishment on the B'nai Binyamin, we're going to see. They were very, you know, very angry at the people of Giva. So that if she wasn't innocent herself, then that probably would not have happened. Now that's where, according to the Yom Yaakov, that's where the Gemara is coming from, assuming that Batizna is not literal, but rather that she left the house. The Yaros Tavash, however, the Yonasan Ivshit, wants to get deeper into this Gemara and actually is going to understand that these ideas are referencing the concept of Zinus, and in fact it's quite literal that she was Mizane. How does that work? So he says, first of all, what does this have to do with Vatizna? You know, where are these different pshatim coming from? Where is there any reference here to a fly or to a hare? Like, you know, what shaychus? What does that have to do with anything? So Tosfos really also dealt with this, and Tosfos says that the connection is that zinus could be related to the word mazon, food. Zan, not kismet, that's something to do with, you know, have to work on the grammar exactly, but she messed up his food. That's what Tosfos suggests. But the only thing I just wants to take a different approach. He says, furthermore, remember the context of this Gemara. The context of the Gemara is that we're trying to show that Rabbi Aviasar is a reliable opinion. How do we know that he's reliable? Because the Gemara says, to ask him Mari al Yadi, because Hashem agreed to him. And how does that play out? So the Gemara ends up saying, now what was Rabbi Aviasar's opinion? Rabbi Aviasar's opinion was that there was a fly. And Rabbi Yonasan's opinion was that there was a hare. And the Gemara says that Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim, they're both true. The fly he found first and he wasn't makbid. And then he found the hare and then he was makbid. He cared about that. He didn't care about the fly, but he cared about the hare. Now, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, if he didn't care about the fly, then why do I care about the fly? He says there's lots of things that probably happened that he didn't care about. So, you know, she may have come home late one day, or woken him up by accident, you know, in the middle of the night, or sneezed, or I don't know. You know, the fact that something happened that he let go is of no significance to, you know, to what played out in the end. So what are we saying that, you know, he was correct? That both of them were correct. Eilu eilu divrei Elokim Chaim, they're both correct. Rabbi Aviasar and Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Aviasar said it was a fly, and Rabbi Yonasan said it was a hare. The fly was totally insignificant to the story. So, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says as follows. He says the Gemara in Gittin says that just as people have different opinions about food, people have different opinions about women. And what it really means, as we'll see, is not just, you know, different tastes, but that they react differently to things that their wives do. That's what the Gemara talks about. So the Gemara says that, it gives us an example, in fact. It says you have a person that a fly falls into his cup, and he takes it out and he drinks the cup. No big deal. He says, so too, some men, his wife will be talking with all the men in the market, you know, all the men at the kiddush, making the round, and he doesn't care. That's one type of person. And then it says, when there is someone else who, a fly gets into his cup and he won't drink it anymore. He spits it out. He won't drink from it, even if he takes out the fly. And same thing, a man who, his wife, is, you know, too friendly with other men and he doesn't tolerate it. That's the comparison the Gemara makes. So he says, look, you see already that the Gemara is comparing this idea to the way that a wife acts. This idea of a fly falling into someone's cup and the way that he reacts to that. The Gemara elsewhere in Gittin, probably close by actually, I imagine, the Gemara compares that to the way that his wife acts amongst other men. Now, that's one point. Now the second is that the Gemara talks about that he found Nima Bosmakum. He found a hair in that place. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz references a fascinating Gemara, the Gemara on Yuma, that says that at the time of the Churban, when there was a lot of gilui arayos, a lot of impropriety taking place, so one of the punishments that the women experienced was that they grew a ton of hair as a punishment. That's learned from a pasuk. They grew a lot of hair. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk, and that they had pitang yara, that they had hair like a forest, and that was a result of zinuk, of the chait, the sin of sexual impropriety. So he says, therefore, that's what happened here. Pasuk says, right, you see from that Gemara that when a woman is involved in zinus, she grows a lot of hair. So he says, that's what happened here. It says, Vatizne, and she was Mizane. And it really means that, says Rabbi Yonatan Ashish. It means that she was Mizane. How was she Mizane? So Rabbi Yosef says, well, she wasn't quite Mizane that she actually engaged in a sexual act, but she was Mizane that he saw her acting like this zvuk. He saw her behaving like this fly in the cup. That he saw her speaking to men. She was very friendly amongst the guys. That he saw her like the fly in the cup. He wasn't smacked though. That he let go. However, after that, Nima Matza, then he found hair on her. And when he found hair on her, then he realized, no, she was actually Mizana. She really did engage in right, but she's still like, she's married to him.
Not married.
Yeah, but she's married to him. She can't just go and she's committed. So when he found hair, the Osomakom, so then he realized that she was in fact really Mizana. So basically, both of them are learning that batizna really means some level of zina. According to Rabbi Aviasar, it meant that she was speaking to men too much. And according to Rabbi Yonasan, it means that she was actually Mizana. He found hair in that place, which means that she was being punished for being Mizana. And at first he wasn't makbid, but then when he saw that she was really Mizana, so then he was makbid on everything. It wasn't that, and this is how he's answering his question about, you know, if he wasn't makbid, then why is it significant? He's saying, no, at first he wasn't makbid, like she was talking to men, but once he saw that what that led to, the result, when he saw that she was really Mizana, then he was makbid, he cared about all of it. What? A led to B. Yeah, they one led to the other, and that's how Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, both are correct, that first she was Mizana and that she was speaking to too many men, and then she was actually Mizana, and he got angry and sent her out. That is how Rabbi Yonatan Ashish explains this Gemara. Okay, so at the end of the day, we have some assuming that there was real zinus here. That's the only thing I've said. But
he would have sent her away because there was wire.
Okay, so
hair in his suit.
Okay, so we have to. So it's a good point. He didn't actually send her away. He got angry at her. Yeah. So that's the very next Gemara. We'll come back to. But he got angry and she left. Okay, so let's get back into the Navi. So that was Pasuk Beis, Vatizna of a Pilagsho, and his Pilagish, his concubine was Mizana. She left the house and she went to her father's house and he went after her And let's jump back to Pasuk Yud. Let's go from Pasuk Yud. So after his father-in-law convinces him to stay for a couple of days when he's ready to leave, so finally he decides that he's had enough, and even though the day was getting late, he leaves. Pasuk Yud v'lo ava ha'ish l'alun, and the man would not agree to stay over. Vayakam vayelech. Jared, you're with me, verse 10, Pasuk Yud. Vayakam vayelech, and he got up, and he went. Vayavo adnochach yevus. And he came to opposite yevus. What's yevus? He Yerushalayim. Yevus is Yerushalayim. Now, yeah. Okay, so just pause for a second, just historically here. So we mentioned last week, I think the Matsudas David, who said that this took place during the time of Kushan Rishasayim, which is after Yehoshua's death, before Asniel ben Kenaz became the Shofet, the first Shofet after Yehoshua. And along those lines, the question would be, if Yevus is Yerushalayim, well, Yehoshua conquered Yerushalayim, so why, as we'll see, this is still a city of Yevusis, it's not a Jewish city yet, so how could it be that Yevus, that Yerushalayim is still in Yevusi hands, if this happened after Yehoshua's death, and Yehoshua conquered Yerushalayim? So one comment here is that Mitzudas David is that it was a neighborhood in Yerushalayim. This wasn't
like Arab neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like the Arab quarter. It was one area of Yerushalayim that was not conquered. Nobody wants to go, and you have to wonder then why they would have to, why that would be their only option for stopping. But it was one neighborhood of Yerushalayim, and that's why it wasn't conquered. Others say, someone here I saw commented, that this happened at the very beginning of Yehoshua, and Yerushalayim wasn't conquered yet. And this happened really in the first year or two after they entered the land of Israel. So Jared, even though we're at the end of Shoftim here, but this story actually happened at the beginning of Shoftim. Right after the entry of the land of Israel, either one opinion is saying right away, because Yerushalayim's not yet conquered, and one is saying it's a little bit after that, after Yehoshua's death, and Yerushalayim is conquered, but this area of Yerushalayim wasn't conquered. So they come to this place, the Imo Tzemed Chamorim Chavushim, and with them is a pair of donkeys, saddled donkeys, Upilag Shoimo, and his Pilagish, his concubine, is with him as well. What is the significance of recounting what is with him? So the Malbim says that the Gemara, the Pasuk is telling you why he wouldn't just stay in the field. Why does he have to come in, why can't he just set up camp, set up a tent or something? Why does he have to come into the town? So one reason is because he had animals, and he was afraid that they would be stolen if he would camp out in the field. And the second is that he had his wife with him, and, a woman needs a proper bed to be happy. And that's why he didn't want to camp in the field. Now what happened? Hamim Yevus. So they were there by Yevus. V'hayom rad me'od. And the day was going down. It was getting late. V'hayomer hanar al Adonav. And the lad, he also had a young lad with him, said to his master, V'chana, let's go. V'nasura l'ir ha'yevus yazos v'nolin ba. Let's go to this Jebusite city, and let's stay here for the night. Vayomer Eilav Adonav, and his master said to him, Lo Nasra Lir Nachri, No, we shouldn't go stay in a city of Gentiles. Asher lo mi b'nei Yisrael heina. They are not from Israel. They're not Jews. They are v'anu ad Giva. Let's go on to Giva. Malbim says it was for the same reason that he didn't want to stay there, because he had animals. He was afraid they would be stolen. He didn't want to stay in a Gentile town. The Nar, the lad, thought they should stay there. Vayomer Lenaro, and he said to his lad, Lecha v'nikrava be'achad ha'mekomos, let's go and let's come close to one of the cities, v'lanu v'giva over Rama. We'll stay in either Giva or Rama. We'll reach a Jewish town, and we'll stay there for the night. He says Rama. I'm sure there is. I didn't look. Oh, yeah, no, that I saw. Somebody does say that. Yeah, we're going to see a lot of comparisons between what happens here in the Pilagish Vigiva and what happens with Lot and the, you know. Yeah, so there's a major Ramban, actually, in Parshas Vayera by Lot that compares the two episodes. So we'll get to that eventually. Vayavru, Vayelechu, and they passed and they went, Vatavo, Lahem Hashemesh, and the sun was coming, was setting, Eitzel Agiva, Asher Binyamin, when they were by Giva in Binyamin. Vayasuru Sham, and they turned there, Lavo, Lolun, Vagiva, to come, stay in Giva, Vayavo, and he came, Vayesha, Virchov, Hayir, and he sat in the street of the city, the ain ish ma'asefo sam habaisa lalun, and nobody would take them in their house to stay. They weren't being very welcoming. They were sitting in the town square, but they weren't very welcoming. I'm just going to note, didn't see an explanation for this, but I'm just noticing now, this is an interesting pasuk, because it switches from plural to singular and then back to plural. It says Vayasuru Sham, and they turn there. Vayavo, and he came, and he sat in the street of the city, and nobody would take them into the house. So it's an interesting switch there. Did I see something about that or not? I don't recall seeing anything. I'm just wondering, maybe, if they were sat there, like, as a big crowd, you know, three people, then it would be harder to find a place to stay. But if it was just him, then somebody might, right, somebody, all of a sudden a bunch of people come out of the bushes, right? So if it was just him, then, somebody might offer him a place to stay, and then once he has a place, he'll be like, oh, and by the way, I have my wife, and I have my son here with me, whatever, he wasn't his son, it was his boy, his servant. Perhaps that's why only he sat in the street of the city, and yet still, nobody invited them in.
Not very hospitable.
No. Yep. Pasuk Tazayin, verse 16. Vehine ish zaking ba min maaseyo min asada ba'erev. And behold, there was an elderly man who came from his work in the field in the evening. Ve'ish mehar Ephraim. This man was actually from Har Ephraim, who gar b'giva, but he was living in Giva. Ve'anche amakum b'nei yamini, the people of this place were Benyamites, were from Sheva Binyamin. This guy happened to be from Har Ephraim. He was from the Shevet of Ephraim. The Malbim says that he's going to invite him in. And the Pasuk is telling you all his merits, that this was a good guy. He was elderly. He was an Ish Zakein. He was elderly. And And he was, he just came home from work, you know, and, yeah, he's inviting, a guest in, and he wasn't even from there, really. He was just living, visiting, I mean, he was living there, but he wasn't, perhaps, a permanent resident there, and yet he invited him in, and that's perhaps also why he did that, because he wasn't from that place. He didn't have that stingy nature, right, of that place. He was a foreigner, and he was ready to welcoming a guest. Vayisa einav vayar esayish areach rechovayir. So this man, this old elderly man coming in from the field, he raised up his eyes, and he saw the guests in the street of the city. Vayomer ha'ish ha'zaking, and this elderly man said, Anna Selech, where are you going? Umayayin Tavo, and where are you coming from? Who are you that you're sitting here? Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, the man said, our friend, the man with the concubine, it's hard because there's no names here, but the man about the who the story is about said, Ovrim anachnu, we're passing the Beis Lechem Yehuda, from Beis Lechem in Yehuda, ad Yarkasei Har Ephraim, until the edges of Har Ephraim, Misham Anochi, that's where I'm from, Va'elich ad Beis Lechem Yehuda, and I went all the way to Beis Lechem in Yehuda, that Beis Hashem ani holech, and now I'm going to Beis Hashem, I'm going to the Mishkan in Shiloh. And nobody's inviting me in. So he pulls out the Mishkan card. He says, I'm on my way to the Mishkan. Why did he say that?
Is he actually?
Now he is. Yeah, no, it's not clear that he was. He seemed to be going home, and now he says he's going to the Mishkan. So...
to show that he's like a good guy.
Yeah, so some say he was just trying to... to get an invite, you know. I'm on my way to the Mishkan, you know, invite me in, I'm a good guy. Some say he was sort of complaining, you know, despite the fact that I'm on my way to the Mishkan, nobody's inviting me in. What kind of people are they here? I'm on my way to do a mitzvah. And others, the Malbim says that he was just looking, he didn't want the guy to think that he was a member of Micha's following. We learned about Micha and his idol and his pestle, and he was from Har Ephraim. And so if you say you're from Har Ephraim, immediately there's suspicion that maybe you're a follower of Micha and the pestle Micha and the idol of Micha. So he wanted to make it clear, no, I'm on my way to the Beis Hashem. I'm on my way to the Mishkan. I'm all right. Pasuk Yates, V'gam Tevin Gam Mispo Yesh Lacham Arenu. And you, don't worry, you won't even have to feed us. I have straw, I have feed for our donkeys. V'gam Lechem V'yayin Yesh Li, I have bread and wine. V'la Masecha, and for your maidservant, for this woman. V'la Nar, and for the lad. Ima Vodecha, with your servant. Eng Machzer Kol Davar. There's nothing missing. He's even offering to share it with the elderly man servant. Hey, Master Koldover, I'm not missing anything. So I'm an easy guest, as they say. I have all my meals out. I just need a place to stay. Vayomer ha'isha zakein shalom la. So the elderly man said, peace unto you. Rak kol machzorcha alai.
I'm starting to interrupt. Isn't that the feminine, like, addressing law? I mean...
Law? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not... Yeah. Maybe he was talking to the woman. I don't know. Yeah, here. Rakho machzorcha alai. All of your needs will be on me. Rakho machzorcha alai. Atalan, just don't sleep in... Atalan, don't sleep in the street. Some say he was saying, you know, all your needs are on me. Meaning, just that which you're lacking, a place to sleep. Okay, you have the food. Okay, whatever you're missing, I'll take care of. And others say, no, he was saying, you know, I'm going to do this mitzvah properly. Everything is on me. Keep your food, you know, store it away. Anything that I'll take care of you completely. And he brought him to his house. Vayavo lachamorim, and he gave seed to the donkeys. Vayirchatsu ragleyem, and they washed their feet. Vayochu vayishtu, and they ate and they drank. Okay, and now there's going to be some banging at the door. We're going to hold right there.